We are here to speak with Greg Ruberg, CEO of the Lakeview Clinic and Hospital. Greg has been a regular for, actually since the station started, I think, but especially since COVID began a couple years ago. So thank you so much, Greg, for your continued presence and for being with us this morning.
You're welcome. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, you tell me that you just came from a meeting of maybe your daily meeting of how are we going to get through the day with our staffing levels. What can you tell us about what's going on with that at Lakeview?
Yeah, I would say over the last couple of months, things have continued to ramp up again. You know, we had kind of a lull this past summer and early fall. We thought maybe this pandemic was mostly behind us, and then things, as we all know, shifted with the Omicron variant and this increased transmission and cases. We huddle three times a week in the morning to talk about each one of our service lines or areas that we deliver service. Can we support it for that day? Do we have to repurpose staff? Do we pull in extra staff? What did a quarantine kind of look like? And we look at county numbers and also employee numbers. And every day, I would say now, it's been the most challenging time of the entire pandemic now.
Oh, my goodness.
Previously, we had workforce issues regarding long quarantines, but the case rate was much lower. So people would be quarantined. They wouldn't necessarily be sick, and then they'd come back to work. Now we have people that have COVID, and so we continue to evaluate that. People are out following, you know, kind of the CDC guidance for safe return and testing. But all of that requires resources in terms of management and testing and surveillance, and it's just a really difficult time, I think, in healthcare and in many other areas.
Yeah. Yep. And what? How significant is it that the Omicron variant appears to be less virulent, I should say, than Delta? Is that a big factor here, or is that not weighing in so much?
Yeah, I think there's a couple ways you can look at this. You know, certainly I think that it's a positive that it has it's less likely to cause severe illness, hospitalization, or death. However, we're still seeing the unvaccinated coming into hospitals and not doing really well. So I don't think we haven't dodged a bullet by any means, but it may be less of an impact than Delta did. So two things. You know, I was on a call yesterday with regional hospitals across northeastern Minnesota, and we continue to hear the same stories that, you know, patients are coming in, both vaccinated and unvaccinated. But there was a case of an unvaccinated patient came into the ER, declined really quickly, and ended up being put on a ventilator, and they were trying to find ICU placement. So this is still happening every single day. And I think sometimes people think, well, it's the Omicron variant. It's just not as virulent, and it'll be fine. I think the other challenge with this is it's so transmissible. In most cases, not all, it's been interesting, but, you know, we know that we're seeing, you know, families and large groups of people that were together, you know, the majority may get this. And I think the more people that have it, the more strain it puts on workforces, whether that's, you know, restaurants, schools, healthcare, airline industry. I mean, all of that is impacted. So you're getting a different impact now in terms of we still have the demand or the strain on the healthcare system from the patients who are not doing well. But then you also have the workforce issue on top of that. So you have more patients, more volume, and less workforce to take care of them. So I think in time, you know, I've seen predictions that everybody's going to get COVID at some point now.
Right.
You know, and I think about before, the goal was to avoid it if you could initially, then get vaccinated and boosted to avoid it. And now they're saying, well, everyone's going to get it anyway. So to your point, I think that's a different strategy or a different kind of philosophy on how do we manage this pandemic.
Yeah, it seems like it's more about, like you're saying, like I said, a day-to-day managing the quarantine and the people feeling sick and being unable to care for or go to their jobs. And I'm guessing that some of the jobs are done from home, too, and those can't be done if people are actually sick and all the complications that arise with that kind of thing. It sounds like not very fun, Greg. I know that Lakeview feel like it's largely accepted at how so many people have said how grateful they are for what the services that have been provided through the pandemic at Lakeview. So I hope you feel that. And I know you'll continue to do your best with your staff. There's a new study, or I don't know if I think it's a new study, but new acknowledgement out there by the CDC and that's been maybe in the works for a while, but the sort of the natural immunity factor. Do you want to elaborate on that at all?
Yeah, so this is one of the topics that it's been really interesting to me. So for quite some time, you know, if you look back a couple of months, I was seeing reports on the national news and reading some articles about the best protection you can get is to get vaccinated. You know, that will protect you. And that still is the case. I mean, vaccination still is effective at preventing hospitalization and or death. But now some of the new research that you're referencing is saying that, you know, actually if you've been exposed to or have had COVID, your body produces these natural antibodies and you've got good protection against getting COVID again. And I've never understood even before, while I do agree and support that vaccines are effective, I always was a little confused how that could be more effective than our own body creating the antibodies. And it seems like that has shifted a little bit now to that's kind of the current stance. And I need to do a lot more research on that, but it seems to be more logical. The challenge is, though, is, you know, you hear stories about people saying, you know, the COVID parties, for example. Somebody said they wanted to get COVID so they could go do some activity or travel or go out and, you know, prove they had it. And some of those people have died, which is really sad. So it still comes back to you just don't know. I mean, I have not had COVID yet, and I hope to continue to avoid it. But I would never want to go out and get it just to see, to get it over with. You know, I would try to avoid it if I could.
Mm-hmm.
If you get it, you hope for the best. So, and then if you do get it, you create that natural antibody on top of vaccines. So there's, you know, a couple of tools there. But again, it creates more confusion because these things are changing sometimes daily, but more often weekly.
Yeah. Yep. Well, and as you say, lots of different things change daily, weekly. So we're just seems to be in a world of change and flux right now and a certain level of upheaval for sure. Is there anything we're not touching on, Greg, that you want to check in about?
Well, the one thing I think that's also maybe different now than previously, you know, I think that the amount of stress and strain is probably at an all-time high across at least healthcare. And, I cannot speak for other industries, but, it feels the same for most. You know, it feels like we are kind of figuring out how to live with this. You know, we have more availability of testing most of the time with at-home tests, other access to testing, vaccines readily available. We keep telling people if you're sick, stay home and don't expose people. And it almost feels like this is how we're going to be managing this thing as we go through the rest of the winter and spring and probably again next winter to some degree. So instead of shutting everything down like we did last year, during those stages, it feels different. It's just now it feels like life goes on as usual, but we're trying to meet kind of the medical demands, which there are some days it's really difficult. We've been able to do it every single day. But for example, in our huddle this morning, as I went around to our entire leadership team, I don't think there's one person in that room that's not doing some job that's outside of their normal job. So one of our managers is going to be working in the kitchen today. One's doing triage line. One's covering the front desk and screening desk. Another person's covering with maintenance when it snows tonight. So everybody's doing two or three jobs to make this work, and our nursing staff are doing the same thing. Our physicians are doing what we need them to do. And so the entire team has come together and helped to support what has to happen to provide good care. So without that, we couldn't do it. So that's the positive. But again, it just that continues month after month, year after year, and at some point, it's just not sustainable, and I worry about that.
Right. It's a crisis management, but it can't be done indefinitely, like you say. And I know that with another thing that changes is sort of recommended quarantines, and I'm guessing that has a huge effect on, I mean, are you able to be individualized? Like if somebody is clearly ready to come back and they can come back and relieve the load of somebody else, or, I mean, it just seems like the numbers, the quarantine recommendations change too. So how do you even navigate that?
Well, and if you recall a couple of weeks ago when this came up from the CDC reducing, there was a lot of controversy, but the quarantine went down from 10 to 5 days and then with an optional test before going back if symptom-free. That is, and it was acknowledged nationally that this was a strategy to help keep the country moving forward from an economic standpoint to a social standpoint and workforce and all of that. And that clearly was the case. I mean, it was, I think, spurred by some airline discussions with all the flights that were canceled and probably healthcare as well. But so, you know, we know, like internally here, if you're vaccinated and you're compliant with mask use, which, you know, as healthcare professionals, that, you know, I would say the vast majority are, and you get exposed to COVID, there's some pretty good strategies in place that you can come back to work and continue to follow those precautions, PPE and distancing and weekly surveillance testing, so we can maintain our workforce. If we were at the 10-day still and some of those previous recommendations, I don't know how we would provide care for people that need it. So again, there's a balance somewhere in there to make sure that we're protecting each other as healthcare employees and protecting our patients. But we've seen success with that. And so, you know, I would say it's working. And it becomes, like you said, a crisis and a necessity. You have to have healthcare staff to care for sick people. If they're all at home in quarantine, then you have a bigger crisis.
Right. Right. And clearly we just don't live in a perfect world. So it seems like I'm just glad to hear that you are feeling like you can, at least for in our little neck of the world, in our clinic, you know, is to some degree balance those all prerogatives of health and being present, and just what a difficult thing to do, but it seems like you are doing it. Well, thank you so much, Greg. Anything else?
No, I think I certainly can give an update when we speak next, but we'll continue our same strategy. We take one day at a time.
One day at a time. You bet. All right. Thanks so much, and have a good day. Have a good weekend.
All right. You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye. That was Greg Ruberg, CEO of the Lakeview Clinic and Hospital.